With one hand, we reach back to the tried and tested principles which have dethroned principalities and powers. And with the other, we reach forward to the purpose, the power of God for a new generation. Shout, he can do it. You can be seated. If he did it before, he'll do it once more. God will do it over and again. We're going to go to all the way to the very last book in your Bible. Beyond Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Beyond Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. Beyond Ephesians. Beyond Philippians. We're going on beyond 1 John. Where God is love, and 2 John, where God is love, and 3 John, where God is love. It's the only trifecta of books in your Bible, and God wanted you to know one thing. Writing three books on one subject, Jesus loves you. That's it. Jesus loves you. In 1 John. In 2 John, he's still in love with you. And in 3 John, after all your mess, because he doesn't love you as you should be. Now you're trying to get a Baptist preacher started already. I said, God does not love you today as you should be. Here's why. You're never going to be as you should be. He loves you just as you are. That's why we used to sing a song that said, just as I am, without one excuse, without one but that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee. And then our response, O Lamb of God, I come. Not to a man, not to a ministry, not to a creed, not to a philosophy, not to a cult, not to a group, not to a gathering. Oh Lord, we come to thee, Jesus. Oh Lamb of God, I come. God has an issue. Now, look at your neighbor if you think they've got an issue. Go ahead. Look at everybody. Now go like this if you know you've got issues. Everybody's got issues. Where did we come up with this thing that you have to be perfect to make it to heaven? Only imperfect people make it to heaven. It's those that think they've got it all figured out and ready to stick out their long nose and judge everybody else. This is a no judgment zone. Who is he that judgeth? It is Christ that died and was crucified and raised again from the dead. We just figure out God's big bad enough to figure out your mess and help you clean it up. But without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we'd surely fail. Without him, we would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. He loves you. So he wrote three books about it. But that's not my message today. My message is in the next book, which is the last book of your Bible. Because I just believe that the last generation should know the most about the last book. Listen, when your news feed, you know that thing dinging on your phone all the time? I think I have 7 different news feeds into my phone because I like to know what to pray about. And that thing will ding. Whole time I was getting dressed this morning, it was dinging, 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 dinging. When your news feed reads exactly like the last book of your Bible, you know this for sure. The end is near. You say, well, are you a doomsday prepper? Well, first of all, I'm not a doomsday anything. Because I read this last book and we win. Well, what about Iran and China and Russia all coming together in an alliance? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because I'm paid up, I'm prayed up, and soon I'll be going up. That's the reason he said, fear thou not. Why not? Where are you safe? In school? On the street corner? In the movie theater? Driving down the road? Sitting at a traffic light? In your own home? Where are you safe? So God has the audacity to look over the sapphire sill of the heaven's gate and say, hey, chill. I got you. That's what he was saying. Fear thou not. Take it easy. Relax. Pop a couple spiritual Valiums. Take a drink. And relax. Fear not. That's the message of Jesus today. Fear not. Why not? For I am with thee. Don't be shook. I'm your God. Not you, not a philosophy, not a religion, not a man. I, God, that rides the wild wings of the morning and builds my nest in the snow-capped peaks of mighty mountains. I'm God, and besides me there is no other. And I said, chill. Why? I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. Yeah, but I messed it up. I messed it up. Raise your hand if you didn't mess it up. Raise your hand if you messed it up today. God's not looking for the don't mess it up people. Fear not. I'm with you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my own righteousness. Wow. Somebody thank him for that. Now then, for the religious folk among us, I will draw a text. This is my text. Revelation chapter 3. Grab it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Are you ready? There it is. Behold. Now that's one of those 1611 terms. Behold. Here's what it means. Listen. Listen. Shout it. Listen. Listen. It's what Jesus is saying to you today. Hey, turn your cell phone off. Quit checking your feed. It's time to listen. Listen. I stand at the door and knock. Knock. The next word is a little two-letter connector. And everything hinges on those two letters. Here's why. Because God's promises are always conditional. What does that mean? That means anything that is going to bless your life depends not on you, not on God, but rather on your response to God. Everybody says, why doesn't God do something? He did. In fact, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching over me. If God says, you do this, I will do that. Watch it play out in this verse. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door. We don't like verses of scripture like this. You know why? Because we live in a culture among a people who escape every personal requirement. We shy away from all personal responsibility. We have been taught and trained that there's always somebody to blame besides me for the mess I'm in. God said, forget about everybody else. If, shout if. I'm an audience participation preacher. You got to work with me. Shout if. If you, say me. If I will open my heart to hear God's voice, then he says, I will come in and restore you. Restore means to return back to the original state. That's where our pristine parents lived, Adam and Eve. They lived in the beginning. Man and God were one. Adam fellowshiped freely with his father in the brilliance of paradise. There were no reassurances needed. But you know the story. Right there, in the middle of paradise, Adam sided with God's great archenemy. And the boldest rebellion in human history was begun. But aren't you glad that God came down in the middle of all that retrieval, where man had wound his moral clock backwards and the image of God upon man had been dashed to pieces? But God came walking in the cool of the evening and said, Adam, dude, where are you? And Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. Looked like they were doing the Super Bowl halftime show. You'll get it on the way home. So fig leaves together to clothe themselves. Why? They messed up the if. Of every tree, God said, in the midst of the garden, you shall eat. But of the tree of the in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For if you eat of that one tree, you will surely perish, be separated from God. So with flaming sword man was banished to the eastern plains of Steralete, and there he stood before God, guilty and in jeopardy. But God hatched a plan. He said, it may not happen tomorrow or next week, but soon and very soon, I will send a propitiation. Look on Google right now, propitiation. That, if people are actually doing it, it actually means a price paid. I will send somebody that's able to make up what you messed up. And if you will believe in him, you will no longer perish, but have everlasting life. Did you get that? You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a very, very simple thing. It's not complicated. And if wherever you go to church or whoever you listen to makes it complicated, they don't understand the if. We can save the whole nation and the world from everything that plagues them. God said so. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and stop their arrogant ways, their self-satisfied, self-sufficient, I've got it all figured out, me and my tribe against you and your tribe. There are only two kinds of people on earth. Oh, I hit a nerve, didn't I? There are only two kinds of people on earth. I'm not talking about sexes or identifications. Two kinds of people. I'm not talking about race. This may startle you. There are more than two races. But within all those groups, there are only two kinds of people walking on the crusty surface of this people planet today. And as you sit here, watch there, listen out there, you are in one of those two groups. That's it. And they're the only two groups that matter. They're the only groups that matter. Are you listening? There are what your Bible calls the saved. Saved from what? We have preachers today that shouldn't use terminology like saved, shouldn't use terminology like born again. Always be cautious of people that want to redefine the terms. There's something shady going on. Slip, sliding, dipping and diving, ducking and dodging. Those are folks that are trying to protect their own preconception of what they think will make them happy. But the book says, there is a way that seemeth right to humanity, and that way, the end is death. But if my people will call on my name and humble themselves and pray, you don't have to pray a fancy prayer, Mr. Fancy Pants. Oh, you, that was for you, Austin. Did you get it? Did you catch it? They're Mr. Fancy Pants. Then I will hear from heaven. Good God Almighty. Do we ever need some help from heaven? Because they ain't any coming from the schoolhouse, and they ain't any coming from Netflix, and they ain't any coming on your cell phone, and they ain't any coming from Washington, D.C., and they ain't any coming from the State House, and they ain't any coming from these groups that want us all to kill each other. I love looking around this room. It thrills me. There are people of every socioeconomic group. There are folks that couldn't get here today. They're living under the bridge, less than a mile from our front door. But we go get them. They had nothing to eat, so we feed them. There are people halfway around the world in Pakistan this morning drinking clean water. Because we refuse to leave them as we found them, because Jesus never leaves us as he found us. I love to look around this room. I love to look at our millions of partners by television and online. What a kaleidoscope of the human condition. Folks that can write a check for $1 million sitting next to people that had to walk here today and live under a bridge. There are so many shades out here. Like, we had to send Miss Yolanda out this week and say, we need more makeup because we got too many shades. Every shade, every pigmentation. Some of them aren't really that dark. They just got back from Miami. Some of them went to Orlando and visited the mouse. Just, well, we don't go to this. Well, don't go. See, the problem is, Jesus told the Apostle Peter to get out of the boat and walk on the water. He didn't tell everybody in the boat. So stop making your word everybody's word. Stop making what you think what everybody should think. There are only two kinds of people. Look at your neighbor and say, two. They are these, the saved. Saved from what? The wrath to come. The Bible answers its own question. Mercy is speaking from this pulpit today. Grace is talking to you today. But listen, very, very soon, mercy and grace will give way to judgment. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. Here's another situation of the human condition. The death rate remains stubbornly at 100%. What does that mean? You're not getting out of here alive. I don't mean the building. Ooh. I saw people going. You're not getting off this planet alive. I tell this wonderful church, I've stood right here beside so many caskets. There are too many to remember. And someday, Jesus tarries his coming. I imagine they'll lay me out here. But I'm not afraid. You see, Jesus comes to remove even the fear of humanity's worst enemy, death. He comes to remove that. How did he do it? Well, he died, and then he rose again. And he says to you, you can die and live again. Wow! Why isn't everybody telling this story? He saves us from the wrath to come. I heard somebody say today, we're living in a hell on earth. No. Please don't ever say that. Don't compare anything to hell. There's no comparison. Nothing known to the human family compares with what that Bible says is the eventual end of those who stubbornly and arrogantly and pridefully reject the claim of the God who created them on their lives. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. But the judgment's not now. Now is grace. Wonderful grace. And grace is not God saying, live however you want to live and my grace will come. That's not grace. Grace is, you don't have to live that way. I made another way. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody that believes it and has had your life radically, irreversibly changed by Jesus Christ, jump up on your feet, clap and shout. Be seated. So there are saved folks. They're strange. They talk about a resurrection when they're hanging on the social media cross. Anybody ever been on the social media cross? Yeah, where all your friends turn into your enemies. And lovers turn into haters. This people talk about resurrection while they're hanging on a cross. They talk about healing. When the doctor says, your throat may swell up, you may suffocate, you may hemorrhage and strangle on your own blood. We'll do all we can, but it's really out of our hands. Well, thank you for that. Do all you can. But when it gets over into the category of hope, that belongs to the King of the universe, in whom my hope is built, and I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but when everything else fails, I can wholly lean on Jesus' name. Because he wrote 3 books telling me how much he loved me. 2 kinds of people, saved, damned. No, we don't like to hear that. Do you know that 92% of all Americans believe in heaven and only 4% believe in hell? Do you know why? Because we have a pulpit that can't read. We have a pulpit that just wants to please people and gather how the bigger crowd they can. But not here. I didn't come back to lie about it. I'm going to tell you the truth, and if you can't handle the truth, I still love you. But I'm not going to back up from the truth because you might be offended, because I'm offended that you're offended. The damned. Those that waited too long. Those that were in a service like this, a meeting like this, a gathering like this, a church like this, whatever you want to call it. Again, be leery of people that are constantly redefining the terms. Jesus said, born again. That's what he said, that's why I say it. Because born again means you had your life, you said this isn't cutting it, you took that life, you gave it to Jesus, you died to it, and Jesus gave you his life to live every day. So you were born again. That makes sense, right? 2 kinds of people. They are saved and damned. Damned. That's why you shouldn't damn God's name. because he's saved. You know, whatever your name is. Bill Dam. Instead of God. Amen. God's not the dammer. We're the dammers. We damn other people, and in so doing, damn ourselves. Wow, that's heavy. Right? Here's the gospel. Are you ready? Get ready. Miss Deborah says, get your glove up and catch this. I got 3 minutes left. Don't look at your clock or I'll take four. Here we go. Get your glove up. This is the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. I don't have any bad stories. God's not mad at you. He's not cursing you. God is not blocking you. God is not stopping you. There has never been anyone more for you than God. Here's how I know. That book says a greater love has no man than this, that a man, Jesus, would lay down his life on an angry, mean, biting beam for you. No. Stop thinking about the person in front of you or beside you or behind you. Stop thinking about the church. Stop thinking about America. Just think about you. Because if you'd been the only one, and if this planet had been any less damned, he never would have come. He's walked where you walk. He's heard what you hear. He's been through what you've been through. And he's been through things you haven't been through, including death, when they put him in a borrowed tomb and sealed it shut and walked away. But on the third day, on Easter morning, I need to tell you that he got up. And he didn't get up when the sun came up. He got up at 1 second past midnight in the darkest day of human infamy. He gets up in the dark. He doesn't walk out when it gets tough. He doesn't walk out when you mess it up. He runs in. This is the gospel. I'm going to say it, and then I want you to shout it, and I am closing. This is closing number three. I already went right past one and two, so. Amen. Here's the gospel. The gospel is good news. Right now things are going to change. There's a change coming. There's a storm coming. Make no doubt about it. But right now, there's hope. There's promise. There's freedom. Joy. Believe it or not, there's peace in the midst of the storm. Because on the third day, the stone got rolled away and that angel shouted, Mary, go tell everybody, the Son of God is risen. Jesus is alive and well. If you believe it, clap and shout. You see this? This is it. Good news. Good news. You don't have to be damned. You can be saved. Saved from it all. Here's why. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy it gives. But greater still, the calm assurance. That child can face 2023 because he lives. Because he lives, we can face 2024. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, I said I know, he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. Wow. Here's the gospel. I'll say it, you shout it. Jesus loves me. How do you know? This I know. For the Bible tells me so. You don't need a PhD in biblical theology to understand Jesus loves you. Number two, Jesus died for you. He died for you. He didn't have to. He prayed in that garden. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. Nevertheless, whatever you will. It wasn't that he was afraid to die. He was scared to death, your Bible says, that he wasn't going to make it to the cross to save you. That he would perish in that garden before getting on that cross. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But thank God we're not without it. I said we're not without it. What can wash away my sin, my guilt, my shame? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Pastor, you don't understand what I did last night. I understand this. You get it under the blood, it never happened. What can wash away last night? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Put me back together. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I'm confused. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that washes white as snow. No other fountain I know, nothing but his blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Number one, Jesus loves you. Number two, Jesus died for you. Number three, on Easter, he rose from the dead. And when John the Apostle, John the Beloved, that wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, and the book of John, when John recalled that moment, when your Bible says, Jesus on that rugged, angry, mean beam uttered the words, "It is finished." It's a horrible translation. He's not talking about, you know, we came through March Madness. He's not talking about the clock on the NCAA championship game. The clock struck. Are you helping me? Okay. I usually work alone, but the clock struck zero and the game was finished. That's not what it means. The game could be finished and you could still be broken and bruised and hurting and lonely and fearful and confused. That's not what it meant. English uses three words for one. The Greek word is tetelestai. It means everything has been satisfied and your bill has been stamped, paid in full. Your brokenness healed. It means shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Everything has been supplied. Jesus loves you. you don't get anything else today, I'm going to brand this on your conscience. Jesus loves you. And when you start to mess up this week and you remember Jesus loves you, you'll stop. Number two, Jesus died for you. Nobody else did. And those people on Facebook are not friends. I wish they'd call them something else. A friend sticks closer than a brother. Say something on there they don't like. Watch how quick they cancel you. They're not your friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what grace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear just because we do not carry it to the Lord. Those things in prayer. He loves you. He died for you. He kicked the end out of that garden tomb and resurrected from the dead on the victory side of death, and says to you this morning, even if you're facing death, look to me and live. Oh, hallelujah. And number four, he loves you. He died for you. He was raised from the dead. And number four, he will flipping change your whole life. I thought I had a testimony. This is how we overcome. By the word of our testimony. My great God, somebody testify. If you'd have known Jesus was so good, you'd have accepted him one day sooner. I dare you to shout right now. Everybody up. First Church of the Aerobics, everybody up. Everybody up, no one moving around, please. I'm asking for the next 2.5 minutes, please. No one moving around. Everything we live for, everything we do is for this moment. Right now. This is it. There's a little animal. In the rolling hills outside of London. It's a funny little thing. It's only about that big. It's in the mole family, not the kind on your face. Some ladies paint one on there, you know, beauty mark. It's about that big. And they're very, very, very valuable, like you. They get harvested for their fur. They're just that big. They make beautiful, very, very expensive garments out of them. Their hides. And they're not difficult to harvest. You can just walk out and pick them up. They don't run from you. Just pick them up. Because they're born blind. They spend their entire life existing in darkness. They strike them on the head and they pass. But before they pass, the most unusual thing happens. Right before they take their last breath, their eyes come open for the first time. Whether you realize it or not, you may never make it home. I pray that's not the case. But I have to say it because it's what the Bible says. Tomorrow
the next 10 minutes are not promised to anybody. No one. Mussolini, that big old hunk of fat flesh without a soul that ruled a quarter of the world, pounded his shoe on the table of the United Nations. When God got tired of him, he touched one capillary in his brain, and it was over. You may have laced your shoes for the last time, locked your door at home for the last time. You say, well, now you're being morbid. No, I'm just being truthful. I have a very good friend that was hospitalized this past week, and I got a phone call quite early this morning, 6 a.m., and I said, no! Too soon. Because I'm human just like you. And that thought, they're gone. And I screamed, no. And I picked up the phone, and it was a good report. But what if it wasn't? But what if it wasn't? We don't look for death. We try to run away from it. But make no mistake, it's always looking for you. Think of the near-death episodes you've already had in your life. Oh, but he spared you for right now. Because he loves you so much, he refused to live without you, gave his life on a cross, rose from the dead, and he's here today because he wants to change your life. Why didn't you let him do it? Let your eyes come open to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I don't have any other motive in being here at all today than what I'm just about to do. And that's to give you an opportunity to know the greatest joy and peace any human person could ever know this side of heaven. And that is to know beyond any doubt you're on your way to heaven. Now the Bible says if you are, the Holy Spirit will bear witness in your heart that you are a child of God. But again, here's the if. God said, I'll do every bit of this for you if you will accept my son as Savior. He died for you. He rose again. He wants to change your life. He loves you. But he can't do it unless you open your heart today. I believe there are hundreds ready to do that right now. Enough of the devil's work. Enough of what this world's done to you. It's time for Jesus to change your life. It's time for you to go to bed tonight with the full assurance. If you don't wake in the morning, your eyes will open in heaven and not in hell. A place where men gnaw their tongues for pain. The fire is never quenched. The smoke of torment rises up under the nostrils of God forever. God doesn't send anyone to hell. People go there if they make the wrong choice. So make the right choice today. The choice you'll be glad you made when you stand before God at the end of life's journey. This is it. Don't put it off. Your Bible says, woe to him who has this opportunity and instead of opening his heart, hardens their heart, they will be cut off without a remedy. There's a remedy right now. The blood of Jesus was shed for you. The resurrection was for you. You don't have to clean up anything. He wants you just like you are. I'm gonna count to three in just a moment. And when I say three, I want you to raise your hand bravely and boldly. He went to that cross, into hell, defeated the devil, came back up, resurrected from the dead, went back to heaven, and is right now praying that you will raise your hand. Wow. That's how much he loves you. On three, heaven and not hell, God and not Satan, life and not death, blessing, not cursing, heaven, not hell, on three. One, two, three. Raise that hand and leave it up. Leave it up high, everybody, everybody, everybody. Wow, look at all these changed lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, Jesus. Look. All right, let's pray. Everybody's going to pray together. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You say what I say and mean it, and Jesus will do exactly what we ask him to do. Are you ready? Yes.
Heavenly Father,
I believe
you gave
your son
Jesus Christ.
I believe
he loves me.
He died for me.
He rose from the dead.
And he wants to change my life.
If
today
I will open my heart
and invite him into my life.
I invite you, Lord Jesus,
into my life
to be my Lord
and to be my Savior.
I want to be saved,
not damned.
So I receive you.
I believe in you.
And I confess you
out loud
as my Savior.
I am now
born again.
Everything in my life changes now.
I have no past,
only a future.
And it feels so good
to be forgiven.
I could like clap and shout.
Oh, why not?
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, I want to invite you to tell someone in your life about the podcast. Hope you'll do it today. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it on your social networks for me. Really helps me get the word out. I'd love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. No easier way for me to minister to you every day and throughout the day, and for us to join together in faith as God moves in and through your life. You can find links to all my pages at rodparsley.com. God bless you now, and I hope you'll listen again soon.